Morning, everyone. Today's Daf and Rosh Hashanah, Daf Tezvav. We are in Yudal Amud Beis. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the Daf. Daf of Bilano Zechon Ishma, Shlomo Lupin Zaltzman. We are concluding today, God willing. We're going to be concluding today our discussion of Zrayim. And more specifically, we're going to talk about Esrog. Let's just take one step backwards, and then we're going to go forwards. We have been discussing since for already a couple of days now. This is going to be really the third consecutive day of very detailed talk about Peiros, forget fruit, as it applies to associating it to a year, connecting it to a year. We know that there's a 7-year Shemitah cycle. Of the 7 years, 6 years, there's a halach of giving Ashumas and Maestros. In the 7th year, the land is fallow. And as a result of that, based on the year that it is, so you give off Trumas and Maisers in years 1, 2, 4, and 5. So you give off Trumas Gedola, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Sheni. In year 3 and 6, you give Trumas Gedola, Maiser Rishon, Maiser Ani. On top of that, even the difference between year 1 and 2, there's no difference, but all the fruit that grow during year number 1 have to be separated from that yield. And any fruit that grows during the second year is separated from that yield, and you can't mix up the years 1 and 2. So that's Chadash al Yashan and Yashan al Chadash. Okay? Question is, there are two questions. Number one, when is the beginning of the year? When is the end of the year? So that we turn to our Mishnah, and this is why we've been discussing this now for the last 3 days. Our Mishnah says, the first day of Tishrei, what we call Rosh Hashanah. So Rosh Hashanah is now the beginning of year 1, the beginning of year 2, the beginning of year 3, the beginning of the 7th year. Everything is about Rosh Hashanah. Now, I say everything is about Rosh Hashanah, so let's clarify that statement. Not everything is about Rosh Hashanah. There are two dates that one has to take into consideration. One is the Rosh Hashanah date, which will establish what year we're in. But then, of course, there's the Tu B'Shvat date. What does the Tu B'Shvat tell us? That when it comes to trees, not vegetables, but when it comes to trees, so we look at the tree, and the tree will be the determinant of what year it belongs to. So that means, and I mentioned yesterday, it's a little bit complicated, but it's not. You keep saying it again and again, and you know it starts to sink in. So that means that the first day of Tishrei will tell us this is year 1, this is year 2, this is year 3. But when it comes to the fruit on the tree, which is going to bud and blossom, and generally speaking, the blossoming of the trees occurs in the beginning of the spring, right around the month of Adar and Nisan. But I know we're actually going back to the real beginning of the spring. We're going to the 15th day of Shvat, Tu B'Shvat, and that's when they start blossoming. So we look at the Tu B'Shvat date as the critical date. If it's chonate, if the fruit blossoms before Tu B'Shvat, we don't put the fruit into this year, but we actually put the fruit back to the previous year. If the chanata, if the blossoming of the fruit occurs after Tu B'Shvat, so then the fruit is actually connected to this year. So, a little bit tricky. The year begins on the first day of Tishrei, but vis-a-vis fruit on the tree, I'm only connecting it to this year if the chanat of the blossoming of the fruit occurs after Tu B'Shvat, which is 5 months later. 5.5 months later. No, I'm sorry, 4.5 months later. Okay? That's the basic halacha. That's what we've been dealing with for the past, let's say now, 3 days. Okay.
When it comes to Tu B'Shvat, where the farm has to, you know, like a day before, 2 days before, start looking at the tree.
Right, and see, you know, and see the blossoming. Correct? Correct? That's correct. That's the responsibility. Responsibility of living in Eretz Yisrael. Right? There's a lot to take into consideration. This is one of them. Okay, so far so good, and that's the easy part of today's daf. I mean, that was everything I said was basic. I mean, like literally ABCs. And now here's where things get a little bit complicated, and that's the esrog. The esrog is a tree. Unlike other trees, you'll see the little I know about esrog trees. I know I'm in the business, but the little I know about esrog trees is that the fruit stays on the tree. It's not like, you know, by other fruit trees. So one time a year, it gives off the fruit. You pick it off the tree, or it'll drop. But when the esrog tree, however, the esrog is just going to stay on the tree. The Gemara tells us that regarding the esrog tree, unlike other trees where it grows with rainwater, the esrog tree can grow with any water. So in other words, it's a funny behaving tree, and as we're going to be talking about over the course of today, some Tanaim are of the opinion that in certain regards, it is more like a vegetable than like a fruit. For the most part, we'll view it as a tree. It is a tree. The esrog is a fruit. But vis-a-vis some halachas, We're going to view the esrog like a vegetable, and therefore, though by trees we said that the critical developmental point is chanata, which is the blossoming of the fruit, the emerging of the fruit, but when it comes to the esrog, there will be some tanaim who say it's not chanata, but rather it's likita. It's the time that I pluck the fruit off the tree, much like a vegetable, where there it is much like, it is all going to be contingent on the time that I pluck the vegetable out of the ground.
The fact that it sits on a tree for 2 years doesn't have another factor, because it makes an optimal situation.
Correct. Which could be part of the explanation for these tanaim who say that likita is the critical moment. Agreed.
But you could decide when this is a
leaky. Agreed. That's exactly the point. Meaning, so that's why it'd be treated like a vegetable vis-a-vis this halacha. Okay, and if you're not confused yet, so give it a chance. I'll hopefully I'll successfully confuse you.
With a vegetable, if you don't pick it, you don't harvest it, it's going to go bad. But with this, it can sit for another year.
Agreed. Okay. All right. You're right, but it's not going to change the shittas of the tanaim. Okay.
For that's where you can decide when you want
to. According to some tanaim.
Which master session you want to give and so on.
Correct, because you'll just decide when to pick it off. Okay, and now not only we're about to get confused, but Rabbi Akiva was confused. So what did we see yesterday? So Rabbi Akiva picked off an esrog off the tree. He picked it off on the first day of Shvat, day one of Shvat. And what did he do? It was between year 2 and 3, meaning, as I explained yesterday, it was in year 3, but here's what he wasn't sure about. Okay, now there are two possibilities of what his, in other words, we don't even know what he was unsure about. We're unsure about his uncertainty. But we'll give two possible explanations. Now, we're not giving anything. This is all in the Braisa. I'm just reviewing so that we can pick it up where we left off yesterday. So one uncertainty that he had is a halacha fall like Beis Shammai or like Beis Hillel. Remember, Tu B'Shvat being the critical moment of the tree, but that's according to Beis Hillel. According to Beis Shammai, Echad B'Shvat, the first day of Shvat. So that means now that according to Beis Shammai, when he picked the fruit, the esrog off the tree, so then this is associated with the third year. According to Beis Hillel, not yet, not for another 2 weeks. So he picked the fruit off the tree on the first day of Shvat. Oh no, it's a halacha like Beis Shammai, it's a halacha like Beis Hillel. You know what I'll do? I'll take off Maaser Sheni and I'll take off Maaser Ani. So because I don't know who's right. So to which we made a number of comments yesterday on this. First of all, to give off two Maasers, we pointed out yesterday, that's really difficult to understand, meaning, no, just one. So we quoted Tosfos, who quoted the Yerushalmi yesterday, who said that what he did is something really smart. He took off a second Maaser, meaning after the Maaser Rishon, he took off a second Maaser, he went to Yerushalayim, and he gave it to the poor in Yerushalayim. And that way he satisfied both the Maaser Sheni and the Maaser Ani requirement. Okay, so that's one comment that we made yesterday. And the other thing is, that was the Tosfos. Now on this, the Gemara said, I really have difficulty understanding this. Meaning, what are you doing? You're vacillating between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and you're adopting the chumras of both positions. The Gemara says that someone who adopts the kulas of both positions. So the Gemara says Rasha. That's no good. And someone who adopts the chumras of both the positions. Also, the Gemara quotes the pasuk in Koheles, Haksil b'choshech holech. You're a fool if you adopt the chumras of both positions. So and cannot imagine that Rabbi Kiva falls under that category of a ksul b'choshech holech. So the Gemara says that everything we set up until now correct, and what his suffix was is he didn't know which position was Beis Hillel. Was Beis Hillel Tu B'Shvat or was Hillel Echa B'Shvat? Now we have a Mishnah, and the Mishnah gives it to us really clearly, but Rabbi Akiva did not have the Mishnah, and apparently Rabbi Akiva had a suffix in terms of whether or not Beis Hillel was the Tu B'Shvat position or the Echa B'Shvat position. Fine. That is all approach number one in terms of what the uncertainty of Rabbi Akiva was. That's where we got to yesterday, and now what we're going to do today is we're going to go over the other possibility. The other possibility is that no, Rabbi Akiva knew that it was which date marked the beginning of the year for fruit. Presumably it was the first day of Shvat. What he didn't know was the esrog, meaning he wasn't picking any fruit, he was picking an esrog. And by esrog, Do we follow the chanata, the blossoming of the fruit, which obviously occurred in the previous year, or do we follow lekita, the plucking of the fruit? This was the uncertainty of Rabbi Akiva, and this is what made him, what forced his hand to give both Maaser Sheni and Maaser Ani. This is where we left off yesterday. We're going to pick it up right from this point in time. We are now right in the middle of Yudal Amud Beis. Rabbi Yossi, we're starting with the words Rabbi Yossi. The word Omer is in parentheses. Okay, and we're beginning. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda says, no. Lo minag b'chamei b'sol nagba, ela minag rabbi gamalav, rabbi lazer nagba. The debate of Rabbi Akiva, the uncertainty of Rabbi Akiva is, when we're talking about the esrog, is it a regular fruit following chanata, or is it more like a vegetable following lakita? So the Gemara says, that's good. Okay, I get it. But here's the part that's a little bit confusing. He picked it on the first day of Shvat. First day of Shvat, that's Beis Shammai. So the Gemara says, Becha Beis Shammai, Neke Beis Shammai Nagba. What? He's going like Beis Shammai? That doesn't make sense. So I'm Rabbi Chanina, Beitem Rabbi Chananya, Hacha Besrok Shechantu Perosav Kodem Tesvav Di'idach Shvat Askinan, Uvetinu Afilu Kodem Lachinu Maisa Shahya Kachaya. So answer number one of the Gemara is that it was Chonet already from before the previous Tu B'Shvat. Meaning this esrog has been sitting on the tree since Chanata for over 11 and a half months. It's just been sitting on the tree. As we point out, the esrog could do that. The esrog will just sit on the tree. And what he did now is he plucked it off the tree, and we're back to the same suffix. But all we're doing is just simply going back 11 and a half months earlier, where it actually blossomed before the previous Tu B'Shvat. What's the significance of him plucking on the first of Shvat? The Gemara says, no significance. Just happens to be that that's the incident. The incident was that he plucked on the first day of Shvat. Okay. Ravina Amar, you know, it's like, I've told this story before, Rav Moshe Feinstein. So instead of licking the postage, so what he did is he dipped his finger in water, and you know, and he wetted the postage, and one of the Talmidim went over to him and said, it's a halachic consideration? So he said, no. I don't like the taste. so you see the Rebbe doing something, you're like, oh, that's significant. No, it's not significant. It's just okay, so Rabbi Akiva plucked on the first day of Shvat, but there was no significance to that. But there was a lot of consideration because it blossomed before the previous Tu B'Shvat. Okay, anyway, moving on. Ravina Amar Korchutani. Ravina gives another answer, but basically it's going to come out to the same basic idea. Lo echa b'shvat hava, elo tu b'shvat hava. First of all, the incident did not occur in the first day of Shvat, it occurred on the 15th of Shvat. V'lo minig b'shamei b'sil nagba, elo minig rabbi gamalav v'rav lazer nagba. And the issue was not b'shamei b'sil, the issue was rabbi gamalav against rabbi Eliezer. Okay, basically, same basic point, just two corrections in the b'raisa. That's all. Okay. Good. Where are we right now? In the Gemara, physically, we're on Yudal Amud Beis. We're starting with the words Amar Rabba Barav Huna. But basically, here's our story. By an esrog, by a regular fruit, we get it. A regular fruit follows chanata, follows the blossoming of the fruit. That's a significant moment. Tu B'Shvat marks. So if it blossoms before Tu B'Shvat, connected to the previous year. If blossoming occurs after Tu B'Shvat, connected to this year. That's by regular fruit. What's the story with an esrog? So that is the basic machlokus between Tanaim, between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer says that an esrog is like a tree in every respect. So that means that chanata becomes a significant moment, the blossoming of the fruit. Whereas according to Rabbi Gamliel says no, that lakita becomes a significant point of the determinant in terms of what year it's going to be connected to. Back to the Gemara, Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna Asher Amar and Gamliel Asog Ach Lekitasu Isura Ki Yeruk Hashanah Shlo Tishrei. So Rabbi Rav Huna says, let's take Rabbi Gamliel to his logical conclusion. I know that's a funny statement, logical conclusion, but let's just bring him to its logical end, which is that if the esrog is following lakita, so that means that it behaves like a vegetable. We're treating it like a vegetable. Well, let's treat it like a vegetable, meaning not Tu B'Shvat, Rosh Hashanah. Meaning by any vegetable, what year is it connected to? The year I pluck it off the ground. And when does the year begin? Rosh Hashanah. So therefore, if I pick it, we had the brisa earlier in this perek, right? If I pick a vegetable after sunset of Rosh Hashanah, I know it's Yom Tov, you're not allowed to, but if I do so, it's connected to the year of this year of Rosh Hashanah. Only by fruit of a tree do we wait till Tu B'Shvat to see whether it's connected to this year or to the previous year. But by vegetables, right after Rosh Hashanah. So what Rava Bar Rav Huna is going to suggest is, according to Rabbi Gamliel, the same thing is regarding an Esrog. Rosh Hashanah. Meitzvei, the Gemara says, no. Basically, no. Look at the following Braisa. Braisa take us right to the bottom of the Amud. Rav Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Liket Esrog Erev Tu B'Shvat. If I pluck the Esrog off the tree on the eve of Tu B'Shvat, Ashelo Tavo HaShemesh V'Chazav Liket Mishat Tavo HaShemesh, and then I pluck it again after sunset, Ain Tormen Maisen Mizal Zelafish Ain Tormen Maisen Lomen Lachadash Al Yashan V'Lomen Yashan Lachadash. Those represent two different years. The Esrog plucked before Tu B'Shvat, right before Tu B'Shvat, that's last year's Esrog. The Esrog that's plucked right after Tu B'Shvat, that's this year's Esrog. Haisa Shlishis Nechnesa L'Revias. And then the Braisa says, just in case you don't understand, here, I'll give you another application. Let's say it's year three going into year four. Shlishis Maiser Rishon Maiser Ani, Revias Maiser Rishon Maiser Sheni. So that in year three, we're going to have, if I plucked it before Tu B'Shvat, and therefore it's a year three fruit, so then the two Masros are going to be Maiser Rishon and Maiser Ani. Year four, if I plucked it right after Tu B'Shvat, it's going to be Maiser Rishon and Maiser Sheni. Okay, it's the same point, it's just another application of this point. So, Man Shamalei, this is now the Gemara on the top of Tezvav Amad Aleph. Man Shamalei Dazal Basa Lakita Rav Gamliel. Now, who follows the point of Lakita? That's Rav Gamliel. The author of the Braisa has to be Rav Gamliel. There's no other alternative. According to Rabbi Eliezer, an Esrog is a fruit tree for every regard, from every perspective. So therefore, the author of the Braisa is Rav Gamliel. And meanwhile, what's the critical date? Not the first day of Tishrei, Tu B'Shvat, V'Ksani Shvat. So the Gemara says, you're right, we're going to go back to Rava Bar Rav Huna, and we're going to amend his point. Amar Rava Bar Rav Huna, Af Al Gav, Damar Megemel Esrog Achalikita, Mi Kiyerek, Rosh Hashanah Shalo, Shvat. Okay, even though an Esrog is like a Yerek, meaning that the determinant point is going to be when I pick it off the ground, not when it blossoms on the tree, but still its calendaric point is going to be Tu B'Shvat, not Rosh Hashanah. So now, really nuanced to the Esrog. Is it a tree? Is it a fruit? Is it a vegetable? So, yesh v'yesh. Both. The answer is going to be both. It's C. It's the, you know, all of the above.
It's Trump's it because it says ace.
Okay, good. Again, you can argue either way. Just in terms of the sheet of the Gemara, specifically Rabba Bar Rav Huna, he says that even according to Rabbi Gamliel, Af Al Gav, even though we're going to treat it like a vegetable in terms of its determinant point of Lakita, but still its calendaric significance is going to be like a tree, i.e. Tu B'Shvat. Okay, that'll be the sheet of Rabbi Gamliel. Gemara asks a couple of very quick, short questions. Amar, Diktani Imaisa Shnia, okay. Maishna, five lines from the top of the Amud, on Tezvav Amud Aleph. Maishna Hasam Diktani Imaisa Shnia Nechnesas Lishlishis, and Maishna Hacha Diktani Imaisa Shlishis Nechnesas Lirivias. Okay, it's an interesting question. It's kind of question you wouldn't lose sleep over, but it's interesting. The previous Braisa, we were talking about year two going into year three. In the most recent Braisa, the one on the bottom of the previous Amud, we talked about year three going into year four. It's the same basic point, meaning there's a change of that second Meiser. From year two to year three, we're going from Meiser Sheni to Meiser Ani. From year three to year four, we're going from Meiser Ani to Meiser Sheni. But why would the Braisa, in other words, why not just be consistent? In other words, if either way you're showing the change, just be consistent. Go from year two to year three. Why, when we're talking about an Esrog, do we go from year three to year four? So the Gemara says, Mosav Agav Orchi Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says, another point to take into consideration, which is, Esrog Kashle Yada, V'aydi de Mamashma She Beikuleyama B'Shvias, Lo Tan Pri Atlis Shinin. An interesting point to consider. The Shemitah year, what happens? You lay your land fallow, you open up your doors, everyone's out in your field. Okay? We are all out in the field during the Shemitah year. And your esrog tree is being handled by a lot of people. The esrog tree is a more sensitive tree. It gets handled by a lot of people. Forget about it. They're going to destroy your esrog tree. And the halacha, of course, is let them. I don't mean destroy. But what the Gemara says is that it won't give fruit for another 3 years. So after the Shemitah year, you're not going to see your fruit in years one, year two. The first time you're going to see fruit after the Shemitah year is going to be in year three. So the only halachic consideration we can take into account is not going from year two to year three, but only from year three to year four. It's just a practical issue. There are not going to be fruit from for years one and two. Okay. Vaymine Rav Yochanan me Rav Yanai. Another short punctuated question. Esrog Rosh Hashanah Shalom Emasai. When's the Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog? Kind of question where at this point in time we should know the answer. So Amalei Shvat. The answer is Shvat. Why doesn't he say Tu B'Shvat? Okay, but it's Shvat. Shvat de Chadashim or Shvat de Tekufa. Now which Shvat? Remember, we are at the same time considering a lunar year and a solar year, right? We follow both. For our Yamim Tovim, we follow the lunar year, but at the same time, we are totally aware and cognizant of the seasons. When we ask for rain, we generally base ourselves on the solar year, right? Saint Talamat Levracha is when we insert the request to the petition for rain. So we go based on the solar year. It goes by the December. December the, where are we up to now? We're up to the 5th. Okay. Leap year, not leap year. Okay, anyway. But fine. So this Rosh Hashanah for the Esrog, is it the Shvat lunar year, meaning the Chodesh Shvat, or Tkufa, or is it based on the season?
How did they set a lunar month when it's going to be Shvat?
Hmm?
How did they set a lunar month on the solar month?
In other words, the Gemara here is just basically saying season. Meaning, there are tkufos, there are four tkufos in the year, right? We're totally cognizant of it, and maybe it's just on the season. So, Amalei Dechadashim, so he says, no, Chodesh, no, it follows the lunar month. Interesting, look at the second Tosfos on the Amud. Tosfos writes, Afagav Shebisho HaPeretz Olech Achar Chama. Now, we know that the development of the fruit is contingent on the sun. That we all know. Shenamar Mimeget Tvu Shamash. The Pasuk says that they ripen by the sun. But Tosfos writes, the moon also affects it as well. I'm not speaking scientifically, I'm speaking strictly from the perspective of Chumash. Well, not just me and Tosfos. So, Hachanamik see me Megid Gerish Yerachim, Vigam Yisrael Amonim Levana. So Tosfos points out that the moon also has an influence on the harvest of the, and the production of the fruit and the trees. So, it's, you can't ask me. I mean, you can. I'm not informed enough.
Sun, you know,
right.
The sunlight.
I understood. I remember biology. Oh, so faintly. But anyway, fine. So the answer is the Shvat of Chadashim. So the, okay, good. Ba'amine Rav Amir Rav Nachman, Ba'amile Rav Yochanan Amir Rav Yana. Ha'isa Shana Mu'abaras Mahu. Last punctuated question in this series of questions. What if it's an Ibriyar? What if we're adding another Adar? Now, if we're adding another Adar, what does that speak about Shvat? That tells us that Shvat is still winter. So Tu B'Shvat then is going to be the beginning? Or maybe what we should do is we should push it off to maybe the first Adar. Because really, that Adar is going to represent the beginning of spring. So Amalei Halacha Charov Shanim. So in a somewhat ambiguous answer, the Gemara says, yeah, you follow the majority of the years. Meaning, it's always going to be Shvat. You're right. In an Ibriyar, when we're adding another Adar, you're right. Shvat that year is going to be really early. It'll still be winter, end of winter. Doesn't matter. Tu B'Shvat is always going to be the mark of the tree. The beginning of the year of the tree. Okay. Amar Rabbah. Okay, so ends the short question and answers regarding the Esrog. And now, this is it. Meaning, it's like we've been running a marathon on the topic of Zeraim on the planting, and we've been spending now almost a daf on Esrog, and now we're going to wrap it up with. So it's going to be the last leg of the marathon regarding the discussion of the Esrog. Amar Rabbah, Esrog Bashisha Shenichnasas L'Shvias. An Esrog that chanata, its blossoming occurred in the sixth year, and it goes into the seventh year, and I pick it in the seventh year. Okay, so again, there are two critical points of every fruit. Well, actually, for every fruit, there's only one critical point. Chanata. By the esrog, now we can equivocate. Because we know, we have a machlokes between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer, whether it follows the likit or whether it follows the chanata. And as we're about to discuss right now, as if it hasn't been complicated enough, not only are there two critical points, but maybe the two critical points will behave differently whether we're talking about the regular Trumos HaMaisos Halacha versus the Shemitah Halacha. Maybe Shemitah would be different. Okay. And we discuss this in the following context. The Esrog grew during the sixth year, meaning Chanata occurred during the sixth year, and it was plucked in the seventh year. Petura mina Maiser or Petura mina Bior. So it will be exempt from Maiser and it will be exempt from Bior. So first of all, definition. When we're talking about Bior, we mean Peros Shvius, fruit grown during the Shemitah year. All fruit growing during the Shemitah year, we're about to hit a Shemitah year. All right, this coming year is going to be Shemitah year in Eretz Yisrael. So, fruit that grows during the Shemitah year has Kedusha as sanctity. What does that mean? It means that la'achla v'lo l'schara, we have to eat it. It doesn't have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. You can eat it anywhere. But it has to be eaten. You can't do produce, you can't do commerce with it. You can't get any. What you have to do is you have to eat it. You have to consume it. And furthermore, when the season is over, so it must undergo what's called biur. It has to be mivuar. I'm purposely not translating that. What does that mean? That is a major debate amongst the Rishonim. The Rambam is of the opinion that biur peir shvius means you physically have to destroy it. It's no different than the chametz. There's a mitzvah biur chametz. You have to destroy the chametz. The Rambam says you have to destroy the peir shvius when the season is over. The other Rishonim, Tosfos, I didn't check it up last night, but the Ravid, I'm going on memory, the Ravid also on the Rambam says, no, Bir means, in this context, Hefker. You have to declare it once again ownerless, meaning you can go out to the field and you can and you can take whatever fruit you want, but once the season is over, you have to put it out onto the street and declare it Hefker again. In Eretz Yisrael nowadays, the adopted position is this position, meaning any pair of shvias that is taken in by anyone in Eretz Yisrael over the course of the next year. So at the Zman Bir, there are signs posted in terms of when the Zman Bir is for each particular fruit and vegetable. So what they do is they put it out in the front and they declare it ownerless, and then usually after a couple hours they bring it back in again. But okay, remember, Shemitah nowadays is a Din D'Rabbanan, it's not a Din D'Oraisa, so we could be a little bit more makel on these halachas. So anyway, but I say all that by a simple point of definition. Let's go to our Gemara. Let's just see it from our Gemara. So in our Gemara, if I have the Esrog growing in the sixth year, picked in the seventh year, it's exempt from Eiser and it's exempt from Beer. Now, exempt from Eiser means what? It means that really it's a Shvius fruit. All Shvius fruit is exempt from Eiser. See Rashi for sources for that. I'm not going to go through the Rashi now. It's going to also be exempt from Biur. Okay. Now, all this really is confusing, because what is the significant point of the fruit? Well, if the significant point of the fruit is Chanata, so then it's a six-year fruit. And then it should be subject to Trumas HaMaisros, and not subject to Biur. If the significant point of the Esrog is Lakita, so then fundamentally it should be a Shemitah fruit, but then it should be subject to Biur. So if you are now confused by the position of Rabbah, you should be. It means you're getting it. Now let's just do everything but move ahead 1 year. It grew during the seventh year, was picked in the eighth year. So then it's going to be exempt from Meiser, and it's going to be obligated in Biur. Okay, now you know what it sounds like. It sounds like Chanata. That's what it sounds like as being significant. In the 7-8 scenario, it says that it's subject to Bior, which means that the blossoming of the fruit was what dictates it, what year it's connected to. It's a Shemitah fruit, and therefore it's going to be exempt from Eiser. The second statement of Rav Hamanuna, sorry, I jumped ahead. The second statement of Rabbah makes good sense. The first statement of Rabbah is the confusing one and needs clarification. The Gemara makes this point right now. Amalei Abay Bishlam a Seifa Lechomra. So I understand the Seifa, but El Reisha Peturim in a Biur. But according to the Reisha, how can it be exempt from Biur? Amai Darmin Zal Baser Chanata. In other words, it follows Chanata. Yahachit is Chayv Meiser. So if Chanata is a significant point of an Esrog, so then should be obligated in Meiser. Again, let's review. The Esrog fruit grew in the sixth year, meaning Chanata occurred during the sixth year, and it was plucked in the seventh year. Who cares that it was plucked in the seventh year? If Chanata is a significant moment of its development, and we attach it to the year of Chanata, so then that means this is a six-year fruit, it should be Chayv and Shomas HaMaisros. And now, just because you plucked in the seventh year, you're going to tell the Levi, look, I'm really sorry. Right? But I know I'm obligated to give you 10% of this, but I plucked in the seventh year. Well, you don't have the right to say that. Amar Leh. So Rabba's response to Abaye is, Yada kol memashman shba va'at amar tischai v'maiser. So Rabba says to Abaye, look, principally, I would like to agree with you, but there's a practical consideration. It grew during the sixth year. Chanat is a significant point of the Esrog, meaning I'm going to go like Rabbi Eliezer. And really, you're right, 10% of the Esrog should be given to the Levi. But here's the practical consideration that I'm taking into account. It's growing in the sixth year, and now we're in the seventh year. What's happening in the seventh year? Everybody's on my field. Everybody's handling my Esrog tree. Now, yes, of the Esrogs that blossomed last year, and I guess like we discussed a couple of moments ago, you marked off which Esrogim they were, but when all said and done, everyone's out in my field, everyone's handling the Esrog, and basically, you can't legitimately expect me now to take the Esrogim that did develop during the 6 year and give it to the Levi. It's just not going to happen. It's too many handlers of the Esrog.
Why don't we throw this on the Levim and say,
"How was your chaverah?" I thought you were going in a different direction. Why don't we tell the Levim to go out into the field and take their and take their meiser? Okay. Anyway, so Rabba's position is, from a fundamental standpoint, Chanata is significant, and the tree that grew in the seventh year and it was picked in the eighth year is going to be exempt from Trumas and Meisros because it grew during the seventh year. And in theory, you should say the same thing about 6-7, that it should be chayiv and meiser, but yadakol memash mishimba. But everyone's out in the field, everyone's handling it. And, okay, the way Rashi describes it, you know basically what happens? It becomes hefker. In other words, yes, there was an obligation of meiser, but it really becomes hefker. And as a result of that, I'm not going to give it to the Levi. Okay, that's all according to Rabba. Rav Hamanuna Amar Bashisha Shenichnesus Shvius Laolam Shishis Bashvius Anichnesus. I'm sorry, Laolam Bashishis. I'm sorry, Laolam Shishis or Bashvius Anichnesus Shvius Laolam Shvius. Rav Hamanuna basically says, you know what, you Rabba, I agree with, but not on a theoretical level, on a practical level, meaning that everything is Chanata. Chanata is a significant point for an Esrog. If it's a 6 year Esrog, it's chayv in Trumas HaMaisros. If it's a seventh year Esrog, it's exempt from Trumas HaMaisros and obligated in Biur. Okay, Ad Kan. In other words, the difference between Rav Hamnuna and Rava is really small. They fundamentally agree. Chanat is a significant point of the Esrog. It's just a question of, when it's 6-7 and it grew during the sixth year, am I obligated to give off Trumas HaMaisros of the Esrog in the seventh year? Rav Hamnuna says yes. Rabba says no. That's the only difference, but fundamentally they agree. Meisvei, and now the Gemara challenges. The Braisa says, Rabbi Shimon ben Yehuda, Amar Mishum, Rabbi Shimon Esrog, Bashishis, Shenichnesus, Lishvius. If it's year 6-7, meaning grew in the sixth, plucked in the seventh, Petura min ha-Meiser, or Petura min ha-Biur. It's exempt from Meiser, it's exempt from Biur. Why? What do you mean? You eat it. With no cares in the world, no you don't. It's the best of everything. She'ein lecha davar shechayev b'maiser aleim kain gadol b'chayev v'nelka b'chayev. In order for it to be chayev and maiser, it has to grow and be plucked in a year in which it's obligated. And u'bashvish nechzas l'shminis. And if it's year 7-8, meaning grows in 7, plucked in the 8th, Peturim in a meiser, peturim in a biur. It's exempt from meiser. It's exempt from biur. Shein lechadav shechay be biur. Elim kein gadol b'shvias v'nilka b'shvias. And according to this price, it has to both grow and be plucked in the shemitah year in order for it to be subject to the kedushas peros shvias.
Is that possible?
Let's say yes, just for the purposes of getting through the daf. Reisha kashya l'rav ha-menuna, seifa kashya bein l'rav ha-menuna. Now, obviously, all this poses a problem, because this brisa we just learned doesn't look at one critical point of the esrog, looks at two critical points of the esrog, both the chanata and the lakita. Meanwhile, Rabban Rav ha-menuna, what was their significant moment? Only the chanata, not the lakita. Now, the Gemara points out the seifa is difficult for both of them. The resha, only difficult for Rav Hamnuna, not for Rabba. But still, in other words, the point of the matter is that the brice is difficult, tanaihi. So the Gemara points out this issue of when is the critical moment of the esrog? Is that machlokas tanaim? Detanya, the Gemara quotes a brice. Tato sefta in shvius. The Tosefta says, "Amar Rabbi Yosi of Tomos Hayd Mishumar Echamisha Zekenim Esrog." I'm sorry, Esrog Echad Lekitaso LaMeiser. Sorry, Esrog Achar Lekitaso LaMeiser. That when it comes to an Esrog, what do we follow? The Lekita. Rabbeinu Nimnu BeUsha VeAmru, and then they had a vote in Usha. Remember Usha? One of the towns where the Sanhedrin was exiled after the destruction of the Second Temple. So Sanhedrin obviously had to leave Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim was destroyed. And where did they go? Basically on a tour. But tour is not really a great way to describe it. They were basically wandering. Wandering Sanhedrin. And they went from town to town. One of the towns they went to in Usha, I don't know geographically where it is, but I do know that a number of tekanos were made in Usha. They had to decide on many matters. Remember, the temple is now destroyed, and the other thing that comes to my head is the chomish, that a person can't give more than 20% of his income to tzedakah. That was also established in Usha. Okay, anyway, now my mind is just wandering right now. Let's come back. So they voted in Usha, and they said that both for Meister and for Shvius, Lakita, the plucking of the fruit. All right. So, in other words, look, we're gonna square everything away, or hopefully, in just a moment. But what comes out now is that this position of Rabban Rav Hamnuna that says that Chanat is a significant moment, a significant point. So you see that the rabbis in Usha, when they made their institution, they obviously disagree. So what you see over here is that it's a major machlokas tanaim. So don't ask me a question against Rabban Rav Hamnuna from a braisa when we see clearly that this is subject to a machlokas tanaim, and they're simply holding like the other tanaim. Gemara, we're on the very bottom of Tezvav Amud Aleph. The Gemara just simply deals with a technical question. If you look at that last Tosefta that we just quoted, Rav Yosef Tomos says, in the name of the five Zakenim, that the Esrog follows the Lakita for Meiser. And what did the rabbis in Usha say? Both for Meiser and for Shemitah. Where did Shemitah come up in the discussion? Shvius man dekar shmei. Top of the next amud, chesuri mechzara v'hachi ketani. So the Gemara says, you're right. In other words, that we're missing part of the Tosefta. There was a built-in discussion within the Tosefta, and here's how it goes. Esrog achar lekita salam meiser v'echad chanata l'shvius. I'm sorry, v'achar chanata l'shvius. So, the Tana Kama's position is as follows. That when it comes to Meiser, meaning, as Rashi explains right here, going from year one to year two, you got to keep the year separate from one another, like we discussed earlier. Going from year two to year three, meaning, year two it's Meiser Rishon, Meiser Sheni. Year three is Meiser Rishon, Meiser Ani. You got to keep your year separate. So, how do we establish a year when it comes to an Esrog? Lakita. That's going to be determined by the plucking of the fruit. But when it comes to Shvius, Chanata, meaning for that seventh year, and the Esrog obtaining the Kedusha Shvius, so the significant point is going to be Chanata. It has to blossom in the seventh year. if it does not blossom in the seventh year, if it blossoms in the sixth year, it does not have Kedusha Shvias. Okay, and as I mentioned earlier, but here we are now at the really confusing and complicated point where an Esrog now not only vacillates in terms of Chanata and Lakita, but vacillates in terms of vis-a-vis which agricultural halacha we're referring to. If it's the agricultural halachas of Meiser, keeping years 1 and 2 separate, keeping year 2 and 3 separate. So in terms of that, we follow, the Tanakhama follows Lakita, when I pluck it off. In other words, in that regard, we're going to look at it kind of like a vegetable. But when it comes to Shvius, we view the Esrog like a tree, and therefore Chanata becomes significant. And that is, and that's the Tanakhama's position, Rav Yosef Thomas's position. And then in Usha, they took a vote, Rabbi Sena Nimna B'Usha, Achar Lakita So, that no, the Esrog is going to follow Lakita, Bein LaMeiser, Bein LaShvius, vis-a-vis Meiser, vis-a-vis Shemitah. So in other words, they will not make that that bifurcation between the 6 years of the Shemitah cycle and the seventh year, but vis-a-vis all these halachas, we're always going to follow Lakita. Comes out from all this is that the author of this Braisa, of this Tosefta, Rav Yosef Thomas, and the Rabbi Zanusha, is that when it comes to Shemitah, we're going to go after Lakita. When Rabbah and Rav Hamnuna said their halacha, 6, 7, 7, 8, we're going to follow Chanata, they're not going like this Braisa, but rather they're going like Rabbi Eliezer that we saw already in the previous one. Sounds Usha, the kind of Usha, which is Lakita. In other words, when I for both, for the 6 years of the Meiser, of the Trumas and Meiser cycle, and for the Shemitah year as well.
How would the ruling impact Rabbi Kiva's decision?
So now, well, again, remember, Rabbi Kiva's decision was based on he didn't conclude, meaning he did not conclude the halacha as Lakita. He vacillated between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Eliezer. That was exactly his debate. He didn't know whether it was Chanata or whether it was
so
Lakita.
If he says if he abides by this Lakita, right?
If he abides by Lakita, so then it would have been clear to him. But he didn't.
But the thing is, that doesn't clarify whether he goes by Rishon or
Again, that was the first way to present. In other words, there were two ways to present his uncertainty. One is, which date was it? That was one way. Or whether we go after Chanata or after Lakita. Two different ways of explaining his uncertainty. Like I said earlier, we're uncertain about his uncertainty. Okay, back to the Gemara Tanu Rabbanan to see if we can finish up. Ilan Shechantu Perosav Kodem Tezva Bishvat. I'm sorry, did I skip?
Yeah.
Yes, I did, successfully. No, not successfully. Unsuccessfully. Okay, Itmar. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish Amri Tavai Esrog Bashisha Shenechas Lashvias. So an Esrog, that is the 6 year Esrog that goes into the seventh year, Lolam Shishis. It's going to follow the 6 year. Meaning that they are taking the position of Chanata, and it's Chayav and Meiser, and it's going to be exempt from Biur. Okay, like, so we can if we remind ourselves, like Rav Hamnuna. Okay.
That with it. In that case, is that
what
we don't do
Biur? No, they're going like Rav Hamnuna, the previous stuff. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Okay, I'm confused by that point. They are not following Usha. Okay, let me give me some time to marinate on that. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So shenichnas l'shvius la'olam shishis ki asa Rabbi Amar Rabbi Yochanan Esrog by shishis shenichnas l'shvius afilu kizayis v'nasis kikar chayav l'olam mishum tevel. Meaning, let's make the point even stronger. It blossomed in the sixth year. I don't care if it grew a ton during the seventh year. Meaning, right, just to, it started off with the seventh year as being a little kezias. It's right, the volume of an olive. It was a tiny esrog. Doesn't matter. It started blossoming in the sixth year. Even if it grew to the size of a loaf of bread, right? You see the Yemenites with their esrogim? They're small watermelon. So the so it doesn't matter. Meaning that the critical point of the Esrog is Chanata, and so therefore, if it blossoms in the sixth year, it follows the sixth year. That's Rav Yochanan, that's Reish Lakish. Tanu Rabbanan, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ilan Shechantu Perosav Kodem Tezvav. I'm sorry, Kodim Tesvav Bishvat. Misas L'Shana Sha'avra. Acher Tesvav Bishvat, Misas L'Shana Haba. So, okay, good. Regarding a tree, Chanata. Okay, Am Rabbi Nechemia Bamed Ramamor B'Ilan Shosesh Te Brechos B'Shana. That's when a tree gives off fruit twice a year. Gemara says, what? Shtei brechos agadatcha? Tree giving off fruit twice a year? That doesn't happen. Now, by the way, brechos, it's a term, should sound somewhat familiar. What does that mean? It's usually we talk about that in regards to chicken and eggs. Okay, so, right, it's usually a language dedicated to the birds, but over here, basically the imagery over here is that the tree is laying its eggs, if you will. But twice a year, so the Gemara is, and trees don't do that, meaning trees, generally speaking, have one crop a year. Ela'ema ke'en shtei brechos. So the Gemara says it doesn't all finish at one point in time, but basically, yeah, it staggered a little bit. Right, Rashi says she'ein perusav nigmarim ka'achas kegon te'inim k'da amran gabi kinyos mitoch she'asuyin perachin. Okay, aval ilan ha'oseh brecha achas kegon dekalim v'zeisim v'charuvim. But if the tree has one crop that comes at one point in time, examples of that would be the date tree, the olive tree, the boxer tree, afa pishechantu perusim kodem tesva b'shvat. Now, even if the chanata occurs before Shvat, mitarsin l'shana haba, but there we don't separate the delivery of the fruit, and even if it comes before Tu B'Shvat, we're going to associate it to the year after Tu B'Shvat. Remember, Tu B'Shvat is the mark because, generally speaking, the fruits start blossoming after Tu B'Shvat, generally. If it's a tree where the crop comes as one unit, so then we're going to be following the year coming up, even if the actual chanata occurs beforehand. Am Rav Yochanan Nagu Amam Becharuv Mikar Rabbi Nechemia. The people practiced and behaved when it comes to the boxer tree like Rabbi Nechemia, and that means that even though it sprouted, even though it blossomed before Tu B'Shvat, we attach it to that year.
Are we assuming that the blossoming continues even after Tu B'Shvat, or stops before Tu B'Shvat?
No. I don't know. Ezrei Rav Yochanan LeRabbi Yochanan, the Gemara quotes a Mishnah Shviyas, Beno Shuach Shviyas Shalahem Shnia, Mimnei She'osos L'Sholosh Hashanim. So the Beno Shuach, a type of fig, a white fig. So the Shviyas Shalahem Shnia, their Shemitah year is year two of the Shemitah year, because it takes it 3 years to develop. So, meaning, or at least what it sounds like, is that Rashi, Perasach Chontim Ba B'Shvias, Ein Nigmarim Ashna Shnia Shol Shmita. It takes this particular figs 3 years to grow on the tree. And we follow the point of Chanata, and therefore, if you go in year two of the Shmita cycle, because the fruit that I'm picking off on year two really blossomed during the Shemitah year, so therefore it's going to follow the Shemitah year. So what do you see over here? You see that when it comes to a tree, Chanata is the most significant point. And so how can you make the argument that when it comes to the Charuvim, well, I know it blossomed in the year in before Tu B'Shvat, but you know what though? We're going to go with after Tu B'Shvat. No, Chanata should be the most significant point. Ishtik. So he didn't know what to say. That Mishnah Shvius really did challenge him. Amalei Rabbi Abba, Kon Rabbi Yosei, Kon Amai Ishtik, Leimalei Amin Alachanan, Rabbi Nechemi, V'atamei Li Rabbanan. So first of all, in terms of a response, couldn't a response simply be, look, you're quoting Rabbi Nechemi, I'm going like the Chachamim, meaning it's a Machlokas. Mishum Da'amalei, Shavakta Rabbanan, V'avter Ker Rabbi Nechemi, the Gemara says, yeah, but I know what the counter response could be. Look, you have a choice. Chachamim, Rabbi Nechemi, you're going to go like Rabbi Nechemi over the Chachamim. V'aleim alei. So the Gemara says, okay, Gemara is like supplying the entire give and take. V'aleim alei, yeah, but you know what he could have said to him? Kamin alach nagavat amart li yisura. No, I'm telling you what the practice is. And you're telling me that it's prohibited? Da'amalei b'makam asir kinagu shavkinan. So the Gemara says, yeah, but the counter response to that could be, look, if there's a prohibition, meaning if it's subject to Kedusha Shvius, so then why would you let the people behave in a certain way? So again, another counter response could be, look, I'm talking about boxer, charuvin. That's a din derabanan. Right. Check for Rashi, by the way. Remember the basic machlokas, Rashi and the Rambam? Rashi says that all trees are chayv and chumas and maises derabanan. And the Rambam says trees are chayv, chumas and maises deraisa. So this put this down as a check for Rashi, a support for Rashi. Anyway, I'm talking about charuvin, which is a din derabanan. So there, we can we can be a little bit flexible in terms of the dates. You're talking about Shemitah. Shemitah applies to fruit on a deraisa level. Like, Leah, how can you compare the two? So, Ella Amar Rabbi Abba, Kohen Tameni, Imei Shiva Reish Lakish, L'tshuva Zeh. So, I wonder if Reish Lakish had a response. Imei Shiva, the Gemara says he had a response. What do you mean? He responded. Ella Ema Im Kibla Rabbi Yochanan Im Lo Kibla. So no, what I'm wondering is Reish Lakish obviously had a lot of counter a lot of counters, but I wonder if Rav Yochanan was mekabel or not mekabel. That's what I wonder. That's what I don't know. Okay, Ad Kan. Okay, I am admittedly the last thing we finished, but I am confused in terms of whether or not we're following the Rabba Rav Amnuna Chanata regarding Esrog, or like the Takana they made in Usha. Where it seems that they're following the Kita. That's the one part where I'm confused. Admittedly, I do not have clarity on that. I'll go back, I'll do my homework, and I will... That's what it sounds like. Yeah, I know, I see it also, but... That's the one part that I'm a little bit confused by. Anyway, Ad Kan, that takes us really through a three-day marathon of Perishvias, Kedusha Shvias, Kedushas, Trumas HaMaisros, Chanata, Lakita, and Esrog, perhaps having some halachas of a vegetable, behaving a little bit like a vegetable. Okay, but that takes us to the end of a 3-day discussion.